This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, September the 26th, here, Paul Perillo, for another Patriots.com Roster Report Podcast, where we don't have a whole hell of a lot of moves to talk about, so hopefully it'll go quicker than some of our long-winded predecessors. Paul Perillo, we'll jump right into it. We always like to play this game when moves have not yet been announced. A defensive lineman on the practice field today that shouldn't have been there, or, you know, we didn't think should have been there. And by some reports, it looked like Ben Bass, who was here after the trade.
Old friend.
Old friend Ben Bass could be back in town, and that could be at the possible cost of Chris Martin, old friend, who really I haven't seen do anything in my entire time watching this summer, so won't be any great loss. But I think the Ben Bass move is interesting for another point, because we're going to get into the injuries, and the major injury to talk about this week is defensive tackle Silver Salinga. Left the first half of the Raiders game with a foot injury, did not return, is not practicing this week, and certainly there could be a concern there. And the way Patriots do business, things are shifted forward a little bit this week because of the Monday night affair. So on Friday, we normally have the listing of out, probable, questionable. You won't get that until Saturday, and Paul and I will be at home, so you'll have to check the website for that listing. But there is certainly a chance that he's going to be out and even could be off the roster, and there could be a roster move coming at some point. He was obviously playing with the hand injury from Washington, had the big club on the hand, and was just getting back from that and now has the foot injury. So Ben Bass being brought in for depth and, you know, maybe even more than just depth. He could find himself on the roster in a couple days. But are you concerned about the defensive line at this point? Because Salinga's sort of the only other run stuffer next to Vince.
He's the only big body, you know, and I do have a little concern about that. If they want to use the four-man fronts and having a guy, you know, that's more stout, I think that Salinga is the guy to use rather than Chris Jones and Joe Villano. And if you're going to get in a situation where you have both of those guys, Villano and Jones, out there, now I think you're a little bit on the small side. You're going back to what you were last year. And last year, as we recall, they had a hard time stopping the run. So, yeah, there's a little concern. I don't think it's a major deal. I don't think Silver Salinga is the difference between, say, you know, 12 wins and 9 wins or anything like that. But just chipping away at your depth, and I think it does affect some of the things you might want to do in terms of your system schematically. And we've seen Belichick be, you know, as multiple as he's ever been so far, even within series of games this year, he's vacillated between 3 and 4 man fronts.
The rest of the injury report, 5-6 guys that are all limited participation. Michael Buchanan with the ankle, Jamie Collins with the thigh, Dan Conley with the foot, Alfonso Dennard's shoulder, who's missed the last couple games, Rob Gronkowski knee, and Don Jones hamstring. I want to touch on Rob Gronkowski for a minute, and then we'll get into the offensive line. He has talked pretty openly that he feels like he's ready for more. He's, you know, had a season high in snaps last week. For the 3-game stretch, he's almost exactly at 50%. It's just slightly under 50%.
Yeah.
Do you see that advancement? Do you think he's ready for more? We saw that one play last week with a little run after catch where he kind of was the old physical Gronk. Where do you think he is in that sort of progression?
I haven't seen necessarily the huge jump that I was hoping to see. Now, I still think that he is so incredibly talented that he can be productive, and we've seen that a little bit.
He's got a couple touchdowns.
2 touchdowns in 3 games is nothing to just, you know,
more than
off.
Any of his teammates can say.
Yeah, so I haven't seen the old Gronk, but I don't necessarily think he has to be that. But I also haven't seen, you know, I know a lot of people made a big deal out of the play you're talking about, Andy. And listen, he's not going down. He's not going to catch a pass and turtle. He's not going to head to the sideline. That's just not what he's going to. He told us this very early on in training camp. I want to even say the first day of training camp. Mm-hmm. He said, I am not going to change my style. I forget the little phrase that he used now, but, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I forget what it was.
He did have a little catchphrase.
Yeah, he had a little catchphrase.
Smashing and dashing
or something. That's the way he's going to play. I don't expect him to shy away from contact. He's going to take on tacklers, and he's going to drag them. What I haven't seen, Andy, consistently enough is his ability to get open down the seam in the traditional ways. What I've seen the last game that he got wide open on a couple of occasions was sort of misdirection trail pass, almost like waggle-like passes to the tight end that you're misdirecting one way and you're tricking the defense, and he's slipping out the other way. That's how he caught the pass on that sideline that you're talking about. That's the one that Tom Brady missed him when he was wide open, and it was, to a lesser extent, the touchdown that he caught cutting across the goal line just inside the end zone. I haven't seen the down the seam stuff, and that's the stuff that I want to. That to me is the trademark Gronkowski play.
Now I want to move over to the offensive line, where one of the big story. Well, first of all, the offensive line has been the story of the week. Former offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia had some quotes from a Matt Light charity event where he preached patience for the group, and they're trying to get it, and they'll get it, but it's not easy. But one of the talking points has been Brian Stork, the rookie center who has seen what I would dub mop-up duty in the last 2 weeks. And some, I think, are saying, well, maybe Brian Stork needs to be the starting center. Maybe that's a move that would improve something on a group that's giving up too many sacks and not creating enough room to work on the ground. Do you think Brian Stork is going to be the starting center this week, if not soon? And what kind of an effect do you think that'll have?
Well, I don't think you're going to see it Monday night. I'm not positive you're going to see it. I don't feel really strongly about it either way, whether or not it's going to happen, but
I wouldn't do it.
I agree with you. It would strike me as an odd place to do it.
Guinness Book of World Records
on
in town
the road in a very, very hostile environment where communication and whatnot is going to be key.
Against a team that has pretty good pass rush.
Yeah, I think that would be an odd place to do it. I do think it's going to happen. I think they drafted this guy in the fourth round with a good resume, and they have been looking sort of to move on from Ryan Wendell. I actually think Wendell might be the guy to start at center this week. He's off the injury report.
Right.
We have to believe that he's fully healthy if he's removed from that report after missing the last couple of games. I think you might see him go back to him. But, yes, Andy, to answer your other question, I think Brian Stork will be the starting center before the season's over, probably in 2 weeks.
Just a quick look at the injury report for the Chiefs. The big one, Eric Berry, or one of the big ones,
for the Chiefs is a big one.
Did not practice early in the week. We'll see, because Andy Reid had indicated he might return to the practice field and was getting better, could be a possibility. He has an ankle injury. Jamal Charles did practice on a limited basis. He has an ankle injury, a high ankle injury. Good for them if he can get back out there, but also certainly that injury will bear watching even if he's on the field when it's a high ankle.
And Andy Reid did say that he does expect Charles to play.
Correct. And Tamba Ali was limited with an ankle and a knee. Joe McKnight tore his Achilles, gone. So the depth of their backfield certainly would be tested if you don't have Charles, or if Charles gets banged up in the game. Sean Smith, groin, limited. DeAnthony Thomas, limited participation, hamstring. So those are the injuries for the Chiefs. From the Patriots' perspective, Silver Salinga, banged up, not practicing. Ben Bass back on the practice squad. Chris Martin gone from the practice squad. And we'll see if there are any ensuing moves as the team heads to Kansas City on Monday night for a big road battle. Three out of the first four, Paul, on the road. Primetime affair with the Chiefs. Patriots have been very good on Monday Night Football since the switch to ESPN. I believe they're 10-2 in ESPN Monday Night Football games. Much better record than they used to be on the old ABC version of Monday Night Football.
Good little factoid, Andy.
Yeah, little known fact.
Was not aware of that.
For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. And next week, we'll be back to talk about a lot of potential moves. Brian Timms and Brandon Browner coming off their suspensions. What will the Patriots do? How will they handle it? All that next Friday on another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. Peace out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.